I'm Andrea Collins.
And I'm Shelley Zorn. This is Let's Talk Thomasville,
a podcast about storytelling through perspectives of the past, our value of today, and our imagination for tomorrow. We're super excited to have an entrepreneur at the table, Mr. Jeff Lovett with Summer Hill Creative, who's also one of Imagine Thomasville's partners and gurus when it comes to helping us come up with a lot of fun ideas for getting the message out. So, Jeff, welcome to Let's Talk Thomasville.
Thank you.
We're excited to have you.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about some of all the stuff that I've learned over the many, many years that I've been in business.
Many, many. And I'm not going to tell your age, but I do know that you are about to celebrate a birthday.
I am celebrating my 60th birthday this week. I don't mind.
He's been advertising on Facebook, so yeah. I don't think he minds that people know. You're proud of it, right?
Yeah, you know what? I was telling some folks I was talking to the other day, I have been working since I was 12. My first job was when I was 12 years old at my dad's radio station. I was a Saturday afternoon DJ at 12 years old. And I really have worked ever since then. I mean, from that moment on, I've never had a time that I did not have some sort of job.
You do have a radio voice.
I worked in radio for most of my life, but at 12, I worked on Saturday at the radio station. When I got old enough to drive, I wasn't really even licensed to drive, but, you know, I lived in the country, and we drove anyway. I would drive myself out there and work in the afternoons after school, all the way through high school. I worked in radio in college. I went to work for ABC Radio and after college. In Atlanta, and I've owned a radio station, still do. But
so you've been in the business of sharing news and sharing stories.
Yeah, so I think in a couple of years, it'll be 50 years that I've actually been working. So
it's wow.
It's hard to imagine. I probably should take a vacation. But
every now and then, yes, you should. So, Jeff, what we've been doing is interviewing business owners and entrepreneurs and hearing their story, how they got started. And you were telling us early that you felt like there's a difference between a business owner and an entrepreneur. Tell our listeners what you think is the difference.
Well, you know, I've been in broadcasting all of my life, and I thought that I would probably do that for the rest of my life. But about 10 years ago, I kind of stumbled into this new business, which is our marketing agency, Summer Hill Creative, really because we had several of my radio station clients. I would go and talk to them about their, you know, their advertising, their marketing, and they would say to me, hey, how do I get my ad on Facebook? How do I put an ad together, a video to put on, you know, to run on YouTube? You know, they were having a problem. They didn't know how to do it, you know, other than just using a phone. And back then, 10 years ago, they didn't have very good cameras on phones. And
so, I remember that.
You know, and so it was very difficult for just the average person to shoot a Facebook video, unlike today. And so I had gone to University of Georgia. I actually had a degree in television and film back years ago. And I was planning on actually doing that sort of for a career. So I was like, you know what? I could probably help you with that. So I bought a camera and I started making these little short videos for my clients. And it became one of these things where that particular part of what I did, which was really kind of just a side hustle, began to be my main business.
So you saw a need, and did you have any idea it would take off and become?
I had no idea it would take off like it did. You know, and everything that we've done in our business has been a response to clients' needs or demands. We haven't pushed things on people as in, hey, you know, we do video, and so now you sure need a website, so we're going to push that particular product or that service on you. It's been in response to people. So we did video production exclusively for about 4 years, and then our clients went, well, you know, we need some place to put this stuff that you're making for us. Could you help us put together a website? And we were like, well, I guess we could if we had someone that did that. And so we got a person who actually is my daughter-in-law, Kayla. She was working for another company doing website design, and we enticed her to come over and work for us in our family business, which she liked to do because now she can work kind of when she wants to. You know, she didn't have a 9-to-5.
So it's been all based on customer needs.
That's right. And so we said, sure, we can build you a website. And so we started in the website design business. And now that is the main part of our business.
The website business?
We do more website design than we do anything. It's gotten to the point where website is the main part and our video supports all of the websites that we build. So
your video is like the content for the website.
That's right. And so I don't know what the next step will be, but whatever people ask us or demand from us next is, I guess, the direction our business will go into next. I mean, it might, you know, might be AI or who knows what it'll be.
So when was Summer Hill Creative officially established?
Do you remember? Well, it was probably about 9 years ago. We used to call it Summer Hill Digital, and then we changed our name. But about 9 years ago, I think we started. And then my son, who was working in another industry, came to work for me about 7 years ago. But he really does all of our video editing and things like that. He taught himself how to do it. And if you've ever seen any of the work he's done, he really is extremely talented. He's an incredible videographer and an even better editor. So
it's all really happened organically, but you also had the ability to match the needs of a community or of a customer to you thinking, okay, I'll try it.
Yeah, so
I'll figure it out.
Well, what we didn't know, I mean, it's not that I wasn't, you know, that I was technologically illiterate. I mean, I knew a lot about technology because I just like gadgets. And every time they come out with a new thing, I'd go out and buy it because I just like fiddling around with electronics and gadgets.
That's how I am with kitchen gadgets.
Yeah, but and I am too. I love it. Anything that, you know, is new, I go out and buy. My wife hates it, but, you know, I let her buy what she wants to buy, and I buy what I want to buy. We share the same Amazon account, so we can keep an eye on what each other are doing. So,
I'm fine.
You know, I knew enough about some things, but there's a lot of things I've had to learn.
Sure.
You know,
and it's a constant learning.
It's a constant learning thing, because the one thing about marketing is that it is a constantly moving industry. It, you know, just as soon as we learn a little bit about what Google does, Google decides to change what they do.
Right.
As soon as we learn what Facebook does and how to kind of game that system, Facebook decides to redesign their interface, redesign the way they place ads, or redesign everything. So it's a continuous, constant learning thing. And that's been kind of exciting for me because, you know, I thought, you know, at 50, I had learned what I was going to need to learn for my career. I didn't have to really learn anything else. But now I find out that I spend an hour or so every single day doing nothing but just studying and reading so that I can keep up with.
That's a really good point, Jeff, that I don't think we've really touched on.
We haven't covered that in the past.
Yeah, we haven't with entrepreneurs and business owners, is you think that when you're new in business, that's when you're doing all the learning and that eventually you'll have it mastered. And age as well. You know, once you get to a certain point in your life, you feel like maybe you've mastered it all. But you just, I mean, you said it so well. It's
continuous learning.
You have to. If you don't continue to study your craft, then you'll be looked at as the old granddad that was the expert 25 years ago, but you won't be respected by people who are of the generation before you. And, you know, I like to think that even though I'm older than, you know, a lot of people I work with and have got gray hair, they still think of me, I think, as their contemporary, even though I'm 25 years older than them, because I understand what they're talking about.
Right.
And I wouldn't do that unless I really spent time, you know, I subscribe to a whole bunch of different websites that kind of keep me up to date on, you know, all the current, everything that's going on. So
I think that's a real good point, to never stop learning and to never think that you know it all, because it's always changing. What would be your biggest advice to somebody in any industry, in any sector, that wanted to start their own business? Like, they see a need and they've got this dream and they want to start a business. What would be your number one piece of advice?
I would say that the old adage of do what you love and you'll never be, and you'll never work. You never, what is the
work a day in your life?
That's right. Yeah. Do what you love is probably not very realistic if you want to be an entrepreneur. If you do what you love, you'll probably be struggling all of your life, because if I did what I love, then I would be down at the beach, sitting on the beach, you know, watching the waves. That's what I love. But that doesn't
make any
money. That's right.
That. Yeah.
An entrepreneur in my mind has to be someone who is keenly aware of what people need, and they're not targeting their business. They're not crafting their business to what their own personal likes and dislikes and desires are. They're crafting their business around what their customers and their potential customers are needing. So
that's a good perspective.
If I've got something that my customers are asking for, I've got two choices. I can either say yes, we can do that, or I can say, no, we can't do that, and send them to someone else. And we do that because people call us all the time and ask us if we can shoot wedding videos for them. And we don't do wedding videos. That's a completely different area of videography that is a separate skill that we don't really practice. And so when someone calls me up, and I get probably two or three calls a month for someone asking me to shoot their wedding. Now, someone would say, well, maybe you should ought to learn how we want to do, because it would take away so much more time away from all the people that we're working for now.
Sure.
That we have difficulty meeting all the deadlines now with. Why would I want to add another 20 hours worth of work to do two or three weddings? And so, you know, you can say, yes, we can add that and we can do it, or no.
Or you have a niche that really, really good at. And for our listeners, if you haven't seen one of their videos on our website, Imagine Thomasville, look under the Payroll Development Authority and Success Stories. Mm-hmm. And you've done a great job. Those are beautiful videos. One is about quality of life here, why choose Thomasville. And one is about Checkmate Industries and like how they found Thomasville, what their experience was setting up here. So I think that's a unique niche that you've got, for sure.
But I'll, you know, another, on the other hand, I try to find people that I know that I can recommend to. So if I don't do something, then I do have a list of people that I can recommend. So there is a, you know, a guy that does weddings, you know, Alex Suarez, he used to work for CNS. That's what he does, is wedding photography and wedding videos. So when people call me up and say, hey, can you do our weddings? And I go, no, but, you know, Alex will be glad to do your wedding. And I give him his telephone number and his email address, and they work it out with him. So.
Right. It's good to have that network, because you never know, that client that was asking you for a service may end up coming back for a service that they, you know, they know that you're specializing in. So. I find that so interesting with this conversation, based on like what's the difference between a business owner and an entrepreneur. And for the listeners, we had kind of a pre-conversation before we hit the record button, and we were talking about, Jeff, I don't want to take the words out of your mouth, but I want you to reiterate again what you were saying about, you know, like Steve Jobs, how you see him as an entrepreneur and things like that. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, you know, a small business person can have an entrepreneurial spirit, but a lot of times small business people will buy an existing business, or they'll inherit a business from, you know, dad and granddad, and they're just continuing on what's already kind of been there. And, you know, if they sell shoes, then that's what mom and dad did, and that's what they're continuing to do, and there's not a whole lot of probably innovation there. And so, you know, I don't know that I would consider necessarily them to be on the cutting edge of entrepreneurship, even though what they do is, you know, got a lot of value and it's a lot of hard work. Being an entrepreneur, in my mind, is finding something that people need and have a problem that's not being solved, and then building your business around doing, you know, solving whatever that problem or meeting that need. So you have entire companies that were built around that, you know, that idea. Our company was built around that. Steve Jobs, you know, created this computer around that. Amazon was built around that, you know. Just one guy started in a garage going.
Fulfilling a need.
That's right.
You said that earlier, and I don't think we've interviewed anybody else who said that, because most people that come in here with a dream, it's their dream. It's something they love. And you're the first person I think I've heard say, well, sometimes it can't be your dream. Sometimes you're fulfilling maybe the dream or the need of your client.
Right.
You know, and what you do, you love, maybe that's a hobby. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a hobby.
Or maybe you get lucky and you fulfill a need that just so happens to align.
Yeah, be something you like.
Yeah,
sure.
Your dream too. Or you maybe are gifted in that area.
Sure.
Well, you know, an example, one of the greatest examples of people that want to do something they love, but there's not a need, is people that open up restaurants. There's a lot of people that open up restaurants that fail. I mean, it's one of the biggest categories of business failures in the country. It's because they always go, hey, I'd love to own a restaurant. You know, I'm going to have this great restaurant. People are going to love it. And they find out there's just not a need for what, you know, people are just not interested because there's 20 other people selling the same thing that they have.
Or
you know?
I've seen people do, I love Thai food, so let me open a Thai restaurant, without thinking, are there people in this community that also love
it.
Thai or want it? Or is it just me and 10 other people? Yeah. So that's a very good point nobody else has made.
I just think you have to think about before you really start something is, are there people out there that have expressed a need for this, or are there people that you talk to at lunch or at a business meeting, they go, boy, I sure wish somebody did X, Y, yes. Z. And as soon as you hear those magical words, it's, I sure wish there was somebody that did X, then you know there's a business in that.
Possibly.
And do your research and make sure there is, a need for more than just one person's hopes and dreams.
I think of Shark Tank. Because I'm assuming most of the listeners have seen an episode of Shark Tank, but you get so many people that come in there and they explain to the sharks like how they created the product, and a lot of times their stories are based upon that need, not necessarily something that they just love to do. And it does seem like those that have created something based on the need seem to receive more of the funding and the investments if they have a proven track record in that product, and in sales. So that I'm still intrigued with this perspective, because I think, or I know, my conversations with a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs have really been about passion. And so this is like another side of the equation that I'm excited
to think about.
Explore a little bit more.
I want to ask you a question, since we talk about the difference in business owners and entrepreneurs. Tell me if you think this is right. I feel like entrepreneurs have a different personality, and maybe they're not as risk averse. I mean, you've got to be a risk taker to own your own business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you have to put yourself out there and, just hope that it works. It's not that you don't think in dollars, cents, profit, and loss, whatever.
Do business plan, whatever you can to plan.
The first couple of years that we had our business, we just did it and didn't even really think about whether it was making any money.
But you were doing it part-time.
Did you have
another full-time job?
We had another full-time. We had the blessing of We had the blessing of another company that kept us afloat, and so we didn't really think about whether it's making any money or not making any money. We were more concerned about whether or not we were actually fulfilling the needs that people wanted, because I felt like if I could build this business around actually giving people what they wanted, then it would eventually grow. And that's really what I've told a lot of my, we have a lot of clients, a lot of marketing clients that ask us just for advice. They say, how do we make money? And the very first thing I tell people is find out what people want from you and just give it to them. I mean, if you really are stuck, then ask your customers, what do you want from me that I'm not giving to you? And whatever they say, then that's a good basis for doing whatever that is. Because if you'll give people what they want, then they'll typically pay you for it.
It's about the customer service.
That's right.
End of it.
And so giving people what they don't want is a sure way of going out of business.
But
trying to find out, and that is a real problem with a lot of small business people. They never really understand what their customers' needs are, or what their customers want, or even why they even do business with them, period. They just assume that if I sell refrigerators, that everybody's going to want to buy a refrigerator from me.
So you do that by having a consultation with your customer before you produce this for them, or how do you do that?
We do it by, and it's not something that occurs over, a single conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that occurs over typically a long period of time.
So building a relationship with that client.
I mean, our business is built on relationships with everybody that we work with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from a marketing standpoint, being a company that, is focused on that, you do get to wear the hat of different types of businesses, because you really have to truly understand who their customers are, how their business works, in order to create the content through the videos and things like that, and come up with those ideas. So you do get an idea of a variety of businesses, I think, kind of similar to you and I, Shelley. We get to talk to so many different business owners, entrepreneurs, and corporations, that we learn a little bit about everything in each business, and it's the same from a marketing standpoint. So I can imagine.
Oh, yeah. I have a great inventory and repertoire of useless knowledge in my head of just all kinds of things.
You could be an economic
developer. I'm great when it comes to trivia, about people ask questions. I'm like, I happen to know this because we shot a video about that 2 years ago.
So let me ask you what your biggest challenge has been.
Good one.
Being your own boss and being an entrepreneur.
It could be a loaded question, but we ask it for everybody, and I'm always anxious to hear what you have to say.
My biggest challenge, and hopefully they're not listening, but they probably are, is that everybody that works in my company is in my family.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a whole and, new dynamic. That's a different
and
dynamic.
So it's a fine line of running a company where everybody that works for you is also related to you because
you're going to see them at Thanksgiving and
that's
Christmas.
Right. It can be difficult to get on to somebody when they're your son or your daughter-in-law.
Hard to fire your son or your wife.
That's right. And so,
or from your son or your daughter-in-law's perspective, it's kind of hard to argue with the dad or the mom, right?
That's right. And so I worked for my dad for years, and I saw the same relationship, you know, between he and I, where we really had to develop a relationship that was professionally based. But after 5 o'clock, we kind of shifted to a relationship that was just, you know, son and father based.
So you got to put it in two different
You have to put
pockets.
That into kind of a box. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so during the day, I have to be just, you know, we're just talking business. We're not, you know, this is nothing personal. We're just talking business about what needs to be done on at this particular time to meet this deadline. And it has nothing to do with the fact that we're, you know, that you're my son or you're my daughter-in-law or you're my, you know, wife or whatever, you know.
That's probably hard to do, though.
And so that's why I'm saying that,
that is
a definite challenge, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. That's not an answer I was expecting to hear, Jeff. Yeah.
You've got all new answers.
Yeah, this is really, well, I think what it does is it allows us to think of new podcast conversations to have, you know, because I think that you being honest about that challenge, I think will open up the door for other family-owned businesses who probably face those same challenges. And it may be nice to kind of coordinate with somebody else to say, well, how do you navigate this? You know,
there's probably a lot of other businesses out there that have that very same thing. They just don't want to say it out loud.
Sure.
I know that the family-owned businesses all have that challenge. They just don't like really talk about it.
You know, it's interesting. When I was doing the flower business, and my sister would work for me. She would come and help, and she would say it was the only time I could boss her around. And there were definitely some dynamics there where there were blurred lines, and it was there were awkward moments as sister and sister working together on an event, and it could get a little hairy there. And so I can see that being a huge learning experience.
But there's also advantages because I don't have to worry about anybody in our company, and there's five people that work in our company that are all in some way related to me. You know, I don't have to worry about anybody in our company being disloyal in the same way that someone that is not related to our family would be, as in everybody in our family's got skin in the game.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas if I hired somebody just off the street that I didn't know, their only investment is just I work for 40 hours a week and I get a paycheck and I don't really care anything else about the future of this company 5 years, 10 years, 20 down the years down the road. The fact that the people that work with us are all related and all part of a family, we all have that eventual goal of investing and growing this company. And so there is that advantage. So, you know, I am thankful for that.
Sure. I think Shelly and I talk about this a lot, about our personalities, and our strengths are also our biggest weaknesses and vice versa. And depending on if we're in our healthy phase, then our strengths are really good. But if we're in our unhealthy phase, then our strengths then become our weaknesses and they shine. And it's the same way. There's pros and cons to everything, from coworkers to
family-owned
business.
You know each other better than anybody else. So that's good and bad, probably.
The best part of my business, though, and I don't know if you're going to ask this question, is being your own boss. I've never really worked for anybody else but myself.
Huh.
And I don't really know if I could even do it. My wife and I were talking about the other day. If we were to somehow lose everything and I had to take a regular 9-to-5 job, I just don't know that I would be emotionally, mentally capable of working for someone else, because I never have.
Well, again, I think that's a different personality trait. Number one, you have to be a multitasker. Yeah. You have to be a risk taker. And I think you have to be a self-starter where you're working for yourself and there's nobody telling you what to do. It's all up to you.
In the morning, I sleep as late as I want to sleep. I mean, that's a luxury that most people don't have.
Right.
You know, and I work all day long as late as I want to work. But if I want to quit at 3 o'clock and go fishing, then I can. Mm-hmm. Being, you know, the person that doesn't have anyone to tell them to do. And
you set your hours.
That's right. I set my own hours and I can go on vacation when I want to or have a day. However, to be honest, some people listening thinking, oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. I still work 60, 78 hours of work a week.
It's hard to cut it off. That's right. I was, again, that's another pro yet con at times, is learning to have that healthy work-life balance. Because as a business owner, if you're in your home or in your office, it's hard to cut it off. That can be unhealthy too.
I'm always working. You know, if I'm awake, I'm typically always working.
Yeah.
And that is a fine line to walk as well. So
I called another entrepreneur here one day, and he answered the phone, and he was out in Wyoming. I said, what are you doing answering the phone? He said, I could be on the moon.
Yeah.
And I would answer the phone.
That's true. People have my cell phone number, and they can call me 24 hours a day. Now, my wife gets upset about that, but that's just the way it is when you're a small business owner. You're it. That's it. I mean, you're the person.
There's no backup. Yeah.
There is no call center anywhere. You are the call center.
It's all you. That's right. Well, anything else that you would like to share with us as we're kind of wrapping this up? You've really given us some great new perspective.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, I think I've been very fortunate. You know, I never really intended for this to happen. I was working in Atlanta, and I'd actually gotten a job with MTV. I was hired by MTV to move to New York and work with them. They had just started the network, and my dad had gotten ill and asked me to come back home to South Georgia, to Cairo, to work with him and his radio station just for a short period of time until he got better. And then I was going to do that, you know, for a few months. Then I was going to go back to my fancy job in New York, you know, with MTV. So I came back here, and I just worked for a little while, and I met my wife, and we decided to stay here. And I never went to this life that I thought I was going to have of working in the big city, being a TV producer. You know, and when I look back at it, if I hadn't come back and done that, my life would be so much different, but it's so much better because I came here.
Mm-hmm. You know? God knew what was best.
That's right.
I have one last question. When you're sitting there and you watched MTV after you decided not to take that job, were you thinking, oh, I'm glad I didn't take that job?
Yeah,
were you thinking,
MTV stinks now compared to what it was.
That's what I'm saying. In the 80s, more,
it was great back then, but it's not now.
Back in the day,
we had Downtown Julie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
now you sound old.
Yeah. That's my
time. Be careful. We're going to tell our ages around the table.
My time period.
Well, Jeff, that's great. We really appreciate you sharing your story and answering some of our questions. And you've definitely given us food for thought for some more podcasts coming up and some other businesses to reach out to in regards to family-owned businesses. And then really exploring that entrepreneur versus business mindset, because I do think that you can categorize them in two different buckets.
Yeah.
And they intertwine, of course, but that's a really good perspective that we haven't really explored. So we appreciate you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And stay tuned for our next episode.